Hey everybody, this is Kevin Kautzman with the podcast Get This. It's the show about things people love. And I'm coming to you from the Corona Quarantine Bunker Studio here in upstate Manhattan. It is March 15th in the foul year of our Lord 2020, and that's becoming increasingly true as we go along here. Hopefully I'm able to get out of the city at some point and we aren't completely locked down. I'm joined by Kate Parnell. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. We were talking briefly before the show. This is the first podcast you've ever been on, huh?
It is indeed.
All right. And where are you right now?
I am in my underground bunker in Washington, D.C. it's in my underground apartment.
Okay. All right. Well, you're well positioned to ride this out.
I guess so. I just went to the grocery store today, so I'm a little bit late on the prep thing.
Okay. All right. Well,
fingers crossed.
Right? I know, right? It's getting pretty real. As soon as they canceled all the sports leagues, I think that really struck people. And I just read today that they're closing all the pubs in Ireland, at least until like the middle of April or something like that.
It's a really strange new reality.
Yeah, bizarre. But this is
getting a lot more real every second.
Indeed, yeah, right. It's bizarre. This is the show about things people love, getthispodcast.com. And I met you in D.C. recently, and I was on a trip with my fiance, and we ended up at this place called, it's Showtime, right?
Is that Showtime.
It? Showtime. Showtime. Yep. And is it North D.C.?
It's in, it's technically in Northwest, the Northwest quadrant of D.C.
Yeah. But, and we were hanging out.
The neighborhood's called Bloomingdale.
Bloomingdale. We were hanging out there. It's a very cool bar. I'm sure we'll talk about it. And I noticed you were doing some drawing, and that's what we're going to talk about today. You're an artist, an MFA. Mm-hmm. And what is it you do?
For the past, now this is going to be wrong, but probably around 400 days, I've been drawing Garfield from memory every day.
Garfield the cat.
Garfield the cat, yes.
All right.
Jim Davis.
Garfield the cat from memory every day. And we were hanging out and I noticed you had this drawing of Garfield. I think it was like a very muscular Garfield. It was maybe like an Arnold Schwarzenegger Garfield. Was that what you were doing?
I remember you got one unfinished Garfield that was kind of a little macabre Garfield.
Okay. I recall that. And, yeah. There was Batwings. Batwings, right? Is that the one?
I thought you bought the Ted Bundy one, to be honest, but I don't know.
Well, anyway, I saw you were drawing Garfield, or as you call him, Garf. You have shorthand. You have such a relationship with Garfield. You're on this nickname basis, and I got kind of
worried for a little while about trademark infringement, but I think I've just crossed that Rubicon, you know, a while back.
I'm inclined to agree. I wouldn't worry too much about it. We live in this age of memes and reclamation and all the rest. Let's just cut straight to the chase and say, tell people where they can find your Garfield every day.
Oh yeah. I'm the worst at this. It's on Instagram. It is Garfield at Garfield from memory is what it's called. Pretty straightforward.
Well,
and
yeah. And now I get to do my job and ask you 1,000 questions.
Please do, because I have no idea what to say.
That's all right. No, it's great. So you've done this for 400 days ish. Right. So 2018, you began. Is that right? Is my math right? Or early 2019?
Early 2019, February 24th, 2019. So it's probably, I think the days are not correct.
Well, it's,
it's in the neighborhood of 400 days. All right. At this point.
And perhaps
there's a lot.
And perhaps the obvious question is why and what inspired you to start doing this?
Well, you would think I'm kind of a crazy Garfield person. But I really needed to motivate myself to help get through a really sort of bleak period personally and a period where I felt very creatively blocked. But I really didn't want to set the bar very high at all because I wasn't really sure I'd clear it otherwise.
Uh-huh.
So I figured I was spending a lot of time at a great restaurant, Meats and Foods. Best Half Smoke in DC. And they have a fantastically curated Garfield collection there. And I thought, that's as good as anything.
And why the from memory part?
Well, it just kind of struck me. I remember in elementary school trading drawings. Everyone could draw cartoon characters more or less. At least their kind of memory of what they were. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you could, you know, you'd swap a Twinkie or something for a really great Snoopy drawing.
Yeah. Barter, the original.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really moved on, I suppose.
You've been making
the short answer.
Making Twinkies from art since you were in elementary school. Where did you go to school? Where are you from?
I'm from Richmond, Virginia, originally.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And I went to college in New York and did my MFA up there. And somehow I ended up in D.C.
Right.
Surprisingly to me, it's pretty cool. So
yeah, I like D.C. Yeah. That bar is really something. We've talked about it a few times now on the podcast. But if you're in D.C., definitely check out Showtime. What's the story there? Are you a regular there?
I am. It's kind of my living room. It's a really special place. There's a really great community of people, a lot of musicians, other bartenders, service industry people, just a really great mix and always great conversation.
Yeah, I noticed that. We felt like we were really lucky landing in that place. We went, oh, okay, this is that kind of joint. It has a bit of what I would call an Austin vibe. Feels reminded me of some bars in Austin, although I'm sure it's its own thing. And then, of course, Granny and the Boys, the house band.
Yeah, this is the first Sunday, I think, that they won't play at Showtime since they first started playing.
Wow.
It just, you know, that Alice Granny is, I believe she's 86 years old, so.
Wow.
She can rock out, but we're not trying to push her to take any chances.
Right, yeah, you want to keep her around for a while. That's amazing, too. I got to hear her play, and boy, I mean, it's just not even. Yeah, she's great. She's holding it down. Fantastic. It was such a fun time. They were there over President's Day weekend, and that was really cool. So, drawing Garf from memory, what did you immediately start? And I'm not laughing at it. I just think it's such a wonderful thing. It's so
well, you know, it's a very freeing thing when you think about it, because I think there's even a quote somewhere from Jim Davis saying something along the lines of, Garfield isn't really a whole lot beyond a few key signifiers, you know? He's orange. He has stripes.
He likes lasagna.
He likes lasagna. Natch. Mondays, not so hot on that.
Nope. Doesn't like Mondays.
And it's really kind of a framework that you can apply to a lot of things. You know, I think he said, you know, Garfield doesn't immediately seem particularly masculine, particularly feminine. He's kind of a fluid character. Sometimes he's a very loving character. Sometimes he's a terrible character.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It just seemed like a very flexible format to kind of go nuts with.
I remember loving the Garfield books when I was a kid. That's not anything I had thought about for a long time. And of course, is Nermal his cousin? Is that it? There's Odie, Nermal.
I would like to think there's Arlene, who's his girlfriend.
Okay, right.
She's pink. Okay. She has human, large human lips. It's unusual for a cat. It's kind of a strange social dynamic in the cartoon. I think most people have noticed that at this point.
Hmm.
John Arbuckle is a real loose cannon. I don't know. Weird guy. Maybe not a loose cannon. Yeah. Well, there are a few, I don't know, there's a few times here.
Where what? What does he do?
It's just, well, there's one, the Garfield world, world of Garfield appreciators, I think, has grown exponentially on the internet these days. And there's one, and I will try and tell this in a way that does not violate any kind of radio principle.
Indeed, keep it somewhat clean.
I think he is speaking with the vet that he's in love with, and I'm blanking on her name now, which will probably get me in trouble with a lot of people.
Oh no.
And drinks what he thinks is a cup of coffee, and there's a certain misunderstanding as to what was actually in that cup of coffee? Or what was it Jim Davis was trying to imply was in the cup of coffee?
Uh-huh.
Something about a litter of puppies. I don't know. It's a weird one. There's some that really just kind of
push the edge.
Either, yeah, I guess, or just are sort of strange and maybe unintentionally fantastically weird.
Isn't there a meme where it's just the Jim character in the frames, but Garfield's not there, and it's like
Garfield minus Garfield.
Right.
That one actually, I think Jim Davis published a collection of Garfield minus Garfield. He enjoyed that one.
Yeah, there's a
from
quality.
What I understand. I know so much more about Garfield than I ever thought I would in my life at this point.
What's the definitive? There must be a definitive biography of Jim Davis or something, right? Like, what's the story there?
Golly, I haven't. I hope so. I haven't really gone down that particular rabbit hole.
Sure.
I do a lot of weird image searches just as part of the prep for the drawings or of the kind of envisioning what's happening in the drawings. And
yeah,
where I spend most of my time.
Right. And this is a process where you're doing effectively one a day, more or less.
More or less. Some days I'll put five up, and some days I won't put any up. So
sure.
It's not a hard and fast one a
right,
day. But
right.
I am definitely thinking about Garfield every day. This is just, I think this whole interview is just going to kill my mother, who really dislikes Garfield.
Oh no, why does your mother dislike Garfield?
Hi, Mom. My mom is a very good person, and she's a good citizen, you know. She's just a really great person, and I think she's really disappointed in Garfield's pessimism and his bad attitude, you know.
right.
I was never encouraged to have any kind of Garfield toys or books as a child.
Right.
Not that I'm like claiming any hardship from that, really, but
right.
not a fan at all.
I had not realized what a big cultural footprint Garfield has. But of course, there have been feature films. Apparently, they were terrible. I don't know. Have you seen the film?
I haven't. You know, I really feel like I need to fill in some of the gaps in my Garfield knowledge.
Right.
I don't want to be.
Yeah. This is a
I don't want to be one of these people that's
yeah.
just one
right.
one thing, but
sure.
it sure does kind of take over.
Yeah, well, and it's a not insubstantial Instagram account. And again, it's Garfield from memory. And when in the process here did you start that? Was that from day one? You said, okay, I'm going to do an Instagram account. I'm going to draw Garfield from memory and let's see what happens. Or was it gradual?
It was actually my personal account at first, which is why it completely did.
Wow.
I didn't post them for a few weeks. I think I was just... I do most of them on the bus, on my way to work and on my way home from work.
Mm.
And that was just a chunk of time that I realized I wasn't using. And I really had a perfect little place to work on the bus. I always had a seat. My stop was the last stop, so I wouldn't miss it. And so the first drawings were just very simple ink line drawings of Garfield. And it was more they were pretty, I think I was trying to really remember what Garfield looked like and not doing a very convincing job on
right,
any of them,
which
was entertaining to me. So
that's such an interesting exercise in memory and art. I'm looking for the account now. I found the principal Garfield account. And of course, it's all very bright and colorful. And I was like the dog. Is it Odie? Odie the dog.
Odie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at this. You just did a Corona Garfield.
I did. It was a plague doctor Garfield.
Yes.
I did a couple Corona.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, it's kind of like a diary.
Uh-huh.
In a weird way.
Yes.
It's sort of what's on my mind every day, or what I come across, or what's going on in the world. There are some real left field ones in there.
And who's this dog here? Is this your dog?
That is my dog. Yep, he is. He's recovering from pneumonia right now. I had to do a GoFundMe on there to try and offset some of his vet bills.
Well, that's good.
But he's a trooper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Such a great. Oh, I'm so sorry to keep interrupting.
No, not at all. Not at all. At this. Go on. No, no.
Everyone on the internet is not on the internet, but a lot of the people that follow the Instagram are incredibly supportive, incredibly creative. It's a kind of community that I had never been a part of previously. I'm not really a tech savvy person. I'm not really I don't play video games or anything like that. And I don't dislike it. It's never been my thing. It's been a community where I'm able to open up, I think, in a way that I haven't, just because of my own, kind of social anxiety. And, it's been a fantastic source of support for me. And I hope that I'm a part of that for other people.
Yeah, sure. When you started doing this, were there some original kind of super fans, some people who really came out and were like, wow, this is it? You're making my Garfield day.
I have had people following me from the very beginning. They're still 100% in it, and it makes me so happy. My friends Scott and Anna at Meats and Foods are just the most amazing people, and they've been full on. They've had me do some posters for them, and there's really a huge community of Garfield appreciators.
And this stuff goes really far afield. I mean, am I seeing Iggy Pop, Garfield?
Iggy Pop. Yeah, I would say. I mean, he's probably one of the, maybe not one of the most controversial. There's a few. Mm. There's a Manson in there.
Garfield. There's OJ.
OJ. That was a commission. I started doing commissions. In the fall, people just started asking if I would do. I mean, I've been doing drawings, but I've started doing paintings for people, which is just amazing and so fun. And the OJ one is really one of my favorite Garfs of all of them. The gloves.
You gotta.
They obviously don't fit.
No, of course.
We all know what you have to do.
Right. Fleetwood Garf. I mean, come on.
Uh-huh.
It's such a fun, such a spirit of fun. And so you're taking requests and things too?
I do. That was one thing I started doing as soon as I started posting it and people were liking it at all. I said, I need ideas. I'm doing this to kind of get myself moving. And it's been great in that regard. And people have just come up with some real crazy ideas. I'm trying to think of some of the weirdest ones.
Baby Yoda I've had Garf. Go on.
Baby Yoda Garf. That was, I did about five versions of that one until I got the one that the person really liked. Some very specific Garfield requests. Garfield riding a skateboard with a picture of Garfield riding a skateboard on the bottom of the skateboard. He's doing some sort of a kickflip, and like it just people seem to have fun with it too, and that it's immensely satisfying to me.
You have the Garfield Zapruder video. Oh my god. Wow. Yeah, you don't want to miss this account. So make sure you get to Instagram and check out Garfield from Memory as you're listening to this or after. It's pretty fun. And, has this, it sounds like it's opened up your creativity. I mean, are you beginning to do other work now more frequently? Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like you got over your creative block through this.
Very, very much. I couldn't believe how much it changed my whole creative viewpoint. I had felt really stuck. I had felt really, just at some sort of a crossroads without any idea of what to do next. Mm. And there's just such a spirit of play in this project.
Mm.
And honestly, to me, on one level, it's kind of an open-ended conceptual art project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's something that really can go on and be more like a game than like a finished piece.
Mm-hmm.
That's the aspect of it that's really been so wonderful, is how into it other people get and how much humor and joy they seem to find in it. And I don't think I've ever made artwork that has made as many people happy as this project has. And that's completely new experience to me.
What a joy.
Yeah. I know, it's much better joy. Than the, right. the minimal crap I was doing before.
Yeah. Toiling in obscurity for yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
There's something about that pop kind of angle that allows you to be more free somehow. I think there's a lesson in here.
A bit more of a grassroots approach too.
Mm.
You know, I'm interacting directly with the people that follow my work. If someone really likes something, they'll DM me and we'll have a conversation. A lot of times I'll find out that they make really incredible work.
Mm.
And it's just built a creative network of potential collaborators, fellow artists. It's just been huge to me. I feel very, very lucky for it.
Well, I think you made the right choice. I think about this. I think about this often. You know,
I could have done Huckleberry Hound. You know, that would have been real. Right.
Yeah. I mean, but also giving yourself that parameter, I think, is key. And I think a lot of artists, aspiring artists, tend to think huge. They think, I'm going to write my Moby Dick. And, you know, you sort of want to say to them, maybe write a few haiku first, or maybe write a short story first and sort of see where that lands. See if you can find an audience and connect with them and connect with yourself. Not trying to deter anyone from the big ambitious projects, but
I don't know. I think sometimes you just need to get yourself moving. I mean, I feel like at this point, Garfield is my Moby Dick. It's my white whale, my orange whale.
That's the show title.
Another one I'll have to do.
Yes. Oh, would you do that for the show? I would love that.
Yes, I was going to ask. You'd mentioned that was me shuffling around papers earlier trying to.
I would love that. Yeah, that would mean a lot, because that the show would inspire.
I would love to.
Would have inspired that. Okay, great. So we'll, you know, and maybe are you going to do him as the whale? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I could do him as both. I did an Ahab earlier.
Okay.
Moby Dick is actually one of my favorite books.
Oh, sure. Wow.
All time. So there's a Captain Ahab Garfield who's a little crusty looking.
Great. I love it. I'm looking at.
But, yeah.
Go on.
Oh, no. It could be an Ahab Garfield.
I think it's the whale. I think Garfield, we're going to call the whale. Episode, well, Moby Garf.
I think it all be Garfields.
Moby Garf.
Moby Garf.
That's a good episode naturally. Title. I'm looking at Baphomet. Baphomet Garfield.
Oh, yes.
So fun. Yeah. Here it is. Boy, that just goes on and on. Wild. I think.
Oh, no. I was just going to say it. Just when you think you're reaching the end of it, I have a hard time believing that I've done so many of these.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. No doubt. So it becomes this kind of meta project. Which is, you know, the whole thing collectively is much more than any one of the drawings, which is quite fun. You've got a Garfield as a Marlboro pack.
Yes, a pack of Marlboro Marlboro Golds. Right. Twinkies was one of my favorite recent ones.
Yeah,
the Garfield Twinkie.
This is a great medium for it too. Instagram is perfect for this.
It really, once I decided to do square drawings only, that was the real hurdle for me. I miss having a more balanced composition, but you just really can't on Instagram. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. The format kind of.
It's hip to be square.
It is. It's very hip to be square on Instagram. Moby Garf. fun. Well, and again, this is the Get This Podcast. I'm Kevin Kautzman. It's getthispodcast.com. You can find it everywhere you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. If you like what you're hearing, you know, give us a 5-star and feedback to me. I'm on Twitter, pretty active there. Are you on Twitter, Kate?
I have tweeted one time. I'm trying to, I feel like that's the undiscovered country for me.
Yeah.
But I would love being able to actually tweet at some of the people that I'm garfing, for lack of a better term.
The people that you're turning into Garfield. Right. If you showed, OJ, you know. Yeah. He's very active on Twitter.
Does he? Is he?
Yeah. Does famously, he have infamously access so. Where he is?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
They let him
Twitter
on.
Twitter is there's a little bit of a hurdle for me getting into any new platform just because I'm a little bit tech wary.
I don't blame you. Maybe save yourself from it because it's a bit of a cesspool a lot of the time. I love this. You've got Hal from 2001 as Garf.
Gal, I think.
Garf or something. Garf 9000.
Well, there are some pretty terrible puns. I'll warn anybody that they just they write themselves, you know.
There's a quality, an uncanny, eerie quality to a lot of this as well. Where it's
in what sense?
I mean, Garf as ET is a little. It's just odd. It forces you to see it.
GT, yeah.
Yeah, right. It forces you to see it a little differently. Very, very strange. Mm-hmm. In a good way, in a great way. So let's talk a little more about how you became an artist and what inspired you. And it sounds like even in elementary school you were making trades and winning Twinkies for your art, but. When did you know it was what you wanted to do professionally?
Well, I just, I tried doing other things, and it's just the thing that always calls to me. Hmm. It's the thing that I love the most to do, and I've done it as long as I can remember, drawn and painted, and it's just always been such an enormous part of who I am, that at times when it feels further away from me, it can be really, and this is definitely a project that's helped me get over some of my own mental health issues, or at least find a better way of dealing with them, and also allowed me to really get a robust creative practice going where I'm working every day, and I'm a pretty lazy person. So that's, I feel extraordinarily lucky.
And you're still,
everything.
You're still doing this on the bus.
I am. Yeah. Yeah. I work, I actually work at an art supply store, helpfully. So every morning on the bus, I'll try and start a drawing. I love it when I can do a drawing start to finish on the bus. A lot of times I'll finish it right as we're pulling in to the stop, because I just have a pretty good sense of the timing now. And then I'll just take a quick picture of it and try and throw it up on Instagram before I go to work, maybe get another one done in the evening. We have art activities at my work every week, and I get to sit there and hang out with fun and weird people making artwork, and everybody expects me to make a Garf. At this point, they kind of complain if I'm not doing Garfield.
Sure. What else do you do when you're not drawing the cat?
Well, this past week we had a really cool stop motion animation workshop. Hmm. So I did a couple of short pieces. There's one from a few days ago it's Arlene lamenting over Garfield's motionless body. it really, stop motion animation is just one of the most fun things you can do, and incredibly empowering. I felt like Spielberg after making this seven second animation. We've done felting, oil painting, all kinds of casting, found art sculpture, or found object sculpture.
Sounds like you're in the right workplace.
It really has been wonderful. And there are starting to be a lot of Garfields in this particular branch of, of my art supply chain.
What is it about this character that strikes people? I wonder what struck a chord for people. This grumpy cat that likes lasagna. It's kind of irrational.
I think he appeals to the sort of curmudgeon in all of us. Mm. You know, I think there's been a lot written about why people like Garfield, but I think it's also, he's so visually identifiable, even if he's a toaster or Moby Dick or an apple or a hamburger. Mm. I think all of which have been in there at some point. You can still immediately tell, oh, it's Garfield, but he's also something strange. And it's being able to put something familiar and something strange and something humorous together that's been really the most fun.
Mm. Is it that another one of his qualities is that he's rather large? He's a fat cat.
He is. He is a fat cat. I think every one of the 70-odd Garfield books is some sort of a reference to that in the title.
There are 70 Garfield books?
I read there are around that many. They really Paws Incorporated was a high production organization. That's the commercial end of Garfield until last August.
Hmm. And there aren't any new comics coming out, are there?
Oh, there are. Jim Davis continues. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He sold the commercial end and all the licensing to Viacom recently.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wow.
But he does the strip. He continues to do the strip, a daily strip, which is, I mean, no offense, Mr. Davis, but they're only like 10 jokes in Garfield. And they kind of goes through them pretty pretty routinely. So I'm sure this is, I think, the 41st or 42nd year of Garfield.
I remember.
So he's probably got it down by now.
Sure. I think they've figured out the formula. Why change what's working?
Right.
That's so fun. And then, of course, Odie doesn't speak, does he? But Garfield does, and somehow Jim can read his mind somehow.
He thinks. Everything is in a thought bubble.
Right.
But Jim does, John Arbuckle.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Davis.
Right.
He does seem to have some sort of understanding of what Garfield is saying to him.
Hmm.
Which is what makes it so sad in Garfield minus Garfield. It's just... It becomes this sort of existential...
dark, strange. Yes, Garfield without Garfield is pretty dark.
Mm-hmm.
This poor, lonely character.
Yeah, kind of a Beckett thing.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty Beckett-y. Waiting
for
Garf.
Yeah. See? They start to... Once you start to think of them, it kind of just gets the ball rolling.
Interesting. So, you know, childhood in Richmond, Virginia, school in New York. How was your MFA program in New York City? Where did you go? What was that experience like?
Well, I actually did my MFA at Bard, which is a couple hours north of the city.
Oh, sure.
It was a fantastic program. I studied with some people who just blew my mind, who really pushed me. I don't know that grad school is really something that makes sense for a lot of people in the arts these days.
Sure.
I don't regret going at all. And I am very fortunate to have had the chance to attend there. But I really think there's a lot of inequity in the system these days.
Yeah.
And people come out of an MFA program owing six figures. I mean, it just, there's no way to have a creative life and pay that back. I mean, they're, you know, without working all the time.
Sure. Or in standing to inherit or a lot of money. Oh, of course, that's the subtext.
Yeah,
of
I mean, that's
right.
Like...
right. That's everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. I mean, I also have my MFA. It's in creative writing, and I've coached people in the past about it and their application processes, and in playwriting and all this. And I would just never encourage anyone who doesn't come from serious money to take that leap. I just don't think it's worth it. It's not practical. And you know, you're better off saving the money and spending it on just time to write, or you know, or smaller workshops. You know, little. You know, there are lots of local things you can do in most cities. Lots of ways to cobble together a kind of pseudo MFA. You know, even if you want to teach with the MFA, I mean, those positions are so rare and hard to acquire. It's all about what you want to do. And at least in playwriting, there are a number of programs that will pay your way. So I encourage you.
It's true. And I shouldn't issue a blanket statement like that. I love Bard. Bard was, there was three summers and there were three of the most beautiful, creative, exhilarating summers I've had. Yeah. But at the same time, I came out owing a lot of money, and I don't think I had understood what that would mean in my life. And I think there are a lot of people who are in the same boat.
Yeah. A lot of people across disciplines, not even just the arts, are struggling with the injustice of that, the iniquity of that. And yeah, of course, this system has been so good at spreading out the blame. No one person is to blame. Everyone's kind of everyone and no one is to blame. And it's become a cultural phenomenon. And it's a real shame. But I admire you for taking this empty time and turning it into this project. I think that's something that anyone interested in pursuing art, whatever it looks like, or really anything, so a small business, you want to start a business, you know, find that those empty hours in your day and make the most of them. Our Skype connection came down with a case of coronavirus. Oh. Yeah. We're back though. And so we were in the middle of talking about maximizing your time during your day and how you found the spirit of play with golf.
Yes, definitely.
I bet you have a chance to surprise yourself, right?
Exactly. That's a really interesting way to put it, because this whole thing has been a big surprise to me. Like I said, I wasn't in a great spot when I started doing this, and it has given me so much more confidence and a lot of joy. And I'm not a person that expects that all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I've really always had a lot of issues with depression. And I think that being able to find the humor in things and being able to find joy in making things is what has mainly gotten me through. And, you know, having a really fantastic supportive family and being lucky enough to afford mental health care.
Mm. Oh, that's fascinating. You go to therapy and all this?
I do. I take a few different antidepressants, and it's definitely been a long-term condition, something that I've dealt with for a really long time and that has been pretty problematic at times in my life.
What do you think it is about the project that helps to ameliorate that?
I think there's a sense of connection that I really hadn't felt in regards to my work previously, even coming out of an MFA program where I was in conversation with lots of people about our work. It seemed like the end game to having a gallery practice was selling really expensive work to a very small percentage of people who could afford it. And this project has kind of taken that entirely out of the equation. You know, the only right. people who are buying my work are the people who are looking at it every day and talking to me about it and enjoying it, and they can afford to buy it, and it's helping put food on my table.
That's very inspiring. I wonder too, when do you make time for other projects around this? Are you intentional about that?
I have to be a little intentional. It really, honestly, this is such a engrossing project that I almost have a hard time not working on it at this point. It's just a lot of fun. I also do my own painting. I'm kind of trying to push that a little bit more and maybe think about what the next iteration of this particular project would be.
Yeah, I wonder. I was going to ask, what's next for Garfield from Memory?
Oh, Snoopy, probably.
Snoopy. Snoopy from Stencils?
Snoopy from Stencils. Yeah.
Snoopy from Memory. Yeah.
Snoopy from Memory. I don't really know. I mean, it's really a such a phenomenally open project. I can't imagine anything else as as fun at this point.
You know, circling back to the depression, and I appreciate your mm-hmm. openness about that. I kind of wonder, as you began to do this project, were you noticing a difference immediately, or was it more of a gradual lifting?
It was a gradual process. I mean, there were a lot of other things going on mm-hmm. at the time, and I had been in the hospital briefly for mental health issues, and so my whole life at the point when I started was still kind of dealing with the aftermath of that particular crisis, and it was something that I found really difficult to get past, and that had me really just stuck in a lot of ways. So it just kind of gradually, as I started to engage more and more with the project, and as other people started to engage more with the project, it just built itself up, and it built me up with it.
Yeah, that's really inspiring. And all this from starting to draw this goofy cartoon character on the bus.
On the bus.
I mean, there's a real kind of Bukowski vibe to this, right? It's I'm on the bus. I'm going to work.
It could be a little gritty. Yeah.
Yeah. There's an edge to this project, which is great.
There's definitely an edge in a lot of them. I mean, I want it to be able to be appreciated by lots of different types of people. And one of the coolest things is my friends who have kids who are old enough to appreciate it are telling me that their kids are following it. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, if a teenager thinks I'm cool,
it's such a niche thing. When I tell people I'm interviewing this,
it definitely is.
Yeah. I'm interviewing this woman who draws Garfield from Memory every day. And we're going to talk for an hour about this. It really has brought me a lot of joy just thinking about it. I mean, when we met, I was just so excited to ask you to come on the podcast. And I'm really grateful that you've come on. Are there any other?
Oh, it's so fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. What a joy. Are you online anywhere else? Any other places you want to plug?
Well, I also have a zine called Horse Corn. That's on Instagram. It's that one's a little bit further into left field.
Horse corn.
The horse corn. It was actually a physical zine that we put out a few times. Kind of a local service industry bar and restaurant artist and weirdo
wow.
magazine.
Okay.
And but the Instagram is just basically jokes about horses and corn. So if anybody has any interest in either of those two topics, I would definitely recommend that.
And it's horsecorn_DC.
That's the Instagram.
I see. And there's a woman with a very pregnant belly having the belly licked by a horse.
Weird. Said, it's a little weirder than the Garfield one, which is saying something.
Right. This is quite odd. I'm beginning to understand your sense of humor. You've got horse corn as in the Metallica logo.
Yeah.
Right. I think I'm beginning to understand you a little bit. Well, that's
great.
I'll
have to change it up then.
No, it's fantastic. All right. Well, Kate Parnell, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope we can do this again perhaps next year and check in on the Garfield project.
Fantastic. That would be wonderful.
And again, it's at Garfield from Memory. And this is the Get This podcast. I think you've inspired me to start a Get This Instagram. I don't have a handle.
I think you should do it.
Yeah, well, one of the things we do for this show is the great Pineal Colada, who is in is on Twitter. She abandoned Instagram, but she does these psychedelic filters for every guest. And it's I think it's part of the attraction of coming on the show. People really love those portraits that she does from photography. I think I'm gonna devote a channel to this podcast as well, because that art, you know, it deserves to be shared, and I think it'll be, you know, like your Garfield project, it'll have some nice consistency over the years. You know, you'll be able to go and look back at all these psychedelic portraits. So I appreciate the inspiration.
You know, and just a little bit every day, and just make it fun for yourself.
Yes, that seems like a trick. That seems like good advice to young artists. Make it fun for yourself.
I think so. You're going to have to do it for a long time if you choose this life.
Yeah.
Might as well enjoy it.
That's it. All right. What a joy. Kate Parnell, and this is the Get This Podcast. I'm Kevin Kautzman, coming to you from upstate Manhattan. GetThisPodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Thanks again, Kate. Adios.
All right. Thanks so much, man.
Take care. Thank you.